to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is the sermon for February 18th, 2024, the first Sunday in Lent, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
Lent is a season of preparation. This Lent, I'm preparing for a couple of things. One is Easter, of course, but the other is the release of a new movie called Dune, Part 2. Now, I'm a sci-fi guy. I love reading science fiction and fantasy, and Dune was one of my favorite books when I was in school. It's an epic science fiction classic, and of course, there was a movie last year for Part 1, and now we get Part 2, and I'm just excited about it. The story of Dune is fascinating, because Frank Herbert was kind of a philosopher. He was looking at all different aspects of human life and society. So there's tons of politics in the book. There's all kinds of far-out science fiction themes as well. And there are some deep religious themes in the story of Dune. Our hero, Paul Atreides, is minding his own business, living on his home world, which is a lovely kind of Seattle-like looking place with lots of rain and water, and through a series of circumstances, he ends up in the wilderness, exiled to a planet called Arrakis, or Dune, which is a desert. And what Paul Atreides goes through in that place is, in my mind, not altogether different from what Jesus experiences in the wilderness. He is cut off from all the things that are familiar. He is left to his own devices in many ways, and it is there that he finds his calling, meaning, and purpose. It is in the wilderness where everything crystallizes for Jesus in our gospel. That is where he gets clarity about his mission and his identity as the Son of God. He's out there in the wilderness, in Mark's version, with the wild animals and angels. Isn't that cool? A place where there's wild animals and angels and nothing else. When we went on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, we visited the wilderness, which is in Judea there, and it is empty. It is dry and barren, and you can see how powerful that experience is. So Dune's going to be fun, but what does this tell us about our understanding of Jesus and of what God is up to in our story? Well, when Jesus gets clarity, he's getting clarity about his mission to fulfill and to reveal the new covenant that God has with all of humanity. This covenant will now be open to Gentiles as well as to Jews, and it will be a profound revolution in our relationship with God. All welcome, all invited to this new path of holiness. And so he's right out of the gate proclaiming this news. Repent and believe in the good news that I am bringing, that God is bringing through me. That covenant didn't come out of nowhere, right? This new covenant implies an old covenant. Well, what was the old covenant? If we look at the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, testament means covenant. It's really the first book is the Old Covenant. What is going on? It is the unfolding and the development of God's plan for humanity. In fact, there's not just one old covenant, there are many. Adam and Eve are given a covenant with God. Be fruitful and multiply. Very simple. You kids don't have a lot of complexity yet, just work on this. How about if you populate the world? Let's start with that. And they don't even do very well at the beginning, right? They are supposed to not eat from one tree, they eat from the tree, they're kicked out, and they have their wilderness experience, leaving the familiarity of the Garden of Eden cast out into the wide and empty world to figure out who they are and how they can love and serve God. The next covenant is the one we read about today, the covenant with Noah. God was so upset with the violence of humanity, right? Cain and Abel, the first kids, one kills the other. That's how humanity is wired somehow. The blood, the violence is what offended God, and so he sent the flood to cleanse the earth. And now he's starting over. This is creation 2.0, and Noah and his family are going to be perfect. Finally, we've got the right people. Well, they turn out to be regular people as well. But God says something amazing in this covenant, the second covenant that he makes with humanity. This covenant is not just with one people. We'll get to those covenants. This is with all people and all living creatures. God has a plan for everything in the world. People of all races and nations, and animals, and trees, and plants, everything is part of God's wonderful plan of salvation. Later, that covenant develops. Okay, you got that basic. I love you. I want the best for all of you. Then the next covenant is the covenant with Abraham. Out of all these people, I'm going to take one tribe, one family, and I'm going to teach you how to be faithful, how to live in a relationship with me, your God. And so this was not to say that they were better than anybody else, but they were going to be the pilot project. You know, when you're starting a new project, you start with a small group, a pilot group, and then you spread it out. This was the destiny of the people of Israel. They were called by God into a special relationship to understand more deeply what God was about, but in order to be a light to the nations. What God told Abraham is, I will bless you so that you can be a blessing to the world. Developing from that, we get the final covenant in the Hebrew Bible, which is the covenant, the famous one with Moses. That's the one we like to focus on because it's got all the do's and don'ts. Thou shalt not, right? Very clear ethics. This is how we're going to live in a moral universe, the Ten Commandments and all the hundreds of other commandments as well. What was the purpose of that covenant? To lead the people even further, to prepare them for what was coming, to get them ready to really understand and accept what Jesus would be offering centuries later. You see how God worked this out. The very fundamental covenant, be fruitful and multiply, then the covenant that I love and protect the whole earth, then the covenant to have a pilot project to reveal God's glory, finally, the ethical, moral covenant with Moses, all so that humanity would be ready to accept what God had in store in Jesus Christ. This development, I think, is really fundamental to understanding Jesus' life and teaching. Everything he did was to hearken back to those old covenants. When he stands on the mountain to give the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, he's like Moses holding up the Ten Commandments. Here's the new covenant. Here are the terms that I have for all people, not just one tribe or family, but everybody. This developing covenant fulfilled in Jesus is clarified for him, I think, in this very early story when he's driven out into the wilderness. Because it is in the wilderness where people see and experience God more clearly. Adam and Eve really finally understood what God had been doing once they were out of the garden and in the wilderness. Then it all made sense to them, but it was too late to go back. For Abraham, he had to wander for years in the wilderness before God's promise to him was fulfilled. And for Moses, it was when he was expelled from Egypt, wandering in the wilderness, that he saw the burning bush and that he encountered God on Mount Horeb and received that law, that covenant. Wilderness experiences are part of our life. We'd rather have the mountaintop experiences like Transfiguration last week, but actually God communicates to us more clearly in the wilderness experiences of our life. The times when we're out of the familiar, out of our comfort zone, when we are bereft, sometimes grieving, sometimes loss of a relationship or a job, sometimes feeling this terrible hollowness and aloneness. It is in these moments that we often most powerfully experience the message and love of God. I remember years ago when I was an exchange student in Wales, my junior year of college, I was delighted to be there. It was so exciting. But after a month, the newness had worn off. I didn't have any friends. I couldn't even call my parents or other friends, right? Because in those days, communication was hard and expensive. There was a payphone, but I would have had to have like 10 pounds of coins to make a phone call. It was not easy. And so I was alone. I felt as alone as I have ever felt in my life. And I remember lying in my bed one night just praying, because what do you do when you're at the lowest ebb? You pray. We often forget at the good times, but when we're low, we pray. And I will never forget this experience of feeling the arms of God. They felt like wings in my mind, maybe fancifully, that were surrounding me and telling me that I was going to be okay. It was that wilderness experience that helped me clarify my relationship with God. And in fact, that year, my junior year in college, was the year that I clarified a vocation to the priesthood. That was the pivotal year for me, when it all kind of came together. And I think that happened because I was in a new place, a kind of wilderness, where I could see and hear God more clearly. I was ministered to by the angels in a way that Jesus was. And that is the promise that God gives to us. And that is the invitation to a holy Lent, that in this period of time, we may not necessarily be driven out into the wilderness. I hope you aren't driven out into a literal wilderness. It's cold out there. You don't want to be in the wilderness. But there's a spiritual wilderness that can come upon us at different times. It's why people go on retreat. Sometimes it's a wilderness imposed on us by outside forces, but often we can take the time to simplify our life, to step away from some of the distractions and the clutter and the incessant demands of our smartphones and our jobs and our families, just to carve out a little bit of wilderness time, of silence. I invite you, if you haven't considered it, to talk to people about our Centering Prayer Group on Saturdays. What they do each week is to try to find a little wilderness to hear more clearly the voice of God in their lives. But it doesn't have to be a particular place or program. It can be whatever works in your life. And in those moments, to see and hear more clearly who you are, as Jesus did. You are the Son of God. You are a beloved child of God. What is your calling? Not to hopefully be the Messiah, that's been done, but what is your sense of mission and call? And how could God be communicating that to you once you can tune out some of the clutter around you? Ultimately, all of who we are and what we're called to is grounded in this sense of covenant relationship with God, a covenant that began with the creation of the world and continues and is fulfilled in the person of Jesus, a covenant that reminds us that no matter what, we are beloved children of God, that God loves and accepts us and desires for us to grow even more in his service. May this Lent be a time for all of us of renewal and growth, and especially a reminder of how much God loves us and desires the best for us. Amen.